welcome to The Firm, episode 25.
Hello.
And we're coming straight, fresh, off our own tournament.
Not just any old tournament, as you say, our tournament.
Yeah.
The Hooligans Cup.
Yeah, we went to Leeds again, put on a 15-man event, and you know what? I think it went alright.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it feels like an after Sesame Street special where, you know what, guys? I think that went really okay.
I thought it was going to go one of two ways. It was going to either give me the bug and I'd want to do it again, or it was going to kill any potential love I may ever have for hosting, running these things. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Good fun.
Yeah, big shout out to Simon and Neil ahead of time, who were A, were you left off, but B, actually, like, were going, well, yeah, well, I mean, I'll basically just basically do it for half of it for you.
that thing of yeah, this is the first time we've ever done it, and there's a lot of times where I just sort of look across the spud and be like, am I doing it right? Am I TOing right?
Yeah. Can you do it? Fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the initial, going here. But yeah, I think it went really well. But
So how did you do? So first things first, how did you do, Ryan?
I didn't take first, which I may as well have taken last. But I got third place.
It's a place.
Didn't even get second, my usual, my beloved second.
You're going to just get second place and go, oh, all my stuff's still here.
And I won't lie. In the tournament, I had A, one of the hardest blocking I've ever had, and B, two of the filthiest wins I've ever got. Like, this was a...
A roller coaster of emotion.
I had a great time, great meeting up, great catching up with a few people, but the main thing was like going, man, this was one hell of a tournament. Mm. How did you do, Alex?
Well, I played Navigators again, because I'm like playing on Navigators, repping the Navigators, loving the Navigators. And so last time, when I smashed it 4-0, won my first ever event, placed for the first time, I was playing with a Season 4 team and a Season 3 world. Now I'm playing a Season 4 team and a Season 4 world. I went 2-2, which has always been my target lately. You know, last tournament I went to, when I won it, that was like the sort of coming of age story, you know, like that's how the pitch put it. They talked about us. They said that it's like a coming of age story. I went from like them pep talks and needing them pep talks to like winning my first event. But yeah, it's now everything sort of balanced in line with everything else. I still really enjoyed it. I went 2-2, which is my target at the moment, you know, breaking even. Would have been nice to go 3-1.
That record was good, only for the most elite.
I was quite pleased though, because it wasn't 2-2 where I was like, oh god, I fought tooth and nail for them. It was 2-2, but it should have been 3-1. I think it was my fault it didn't go 3-1. You know, I let myself down, which sounds weird. I let myself down, but I'm happy about that, because I know that I'm better than I performed, so I know that I've got it in me. It's not like this sort of aspirational thing that, oh shit, I got that 4-0, I'm never going to win an event again. But so as is tradition with any podcast that reviews a tournament.
Bang, round one.
Start at the very beginning. The very, very beginning. Them sweet, sweet goodie bags. Because when you come to a firm tournament, we show up, you know.
Yeah.
You got a sweet... Like, people looked at it and they thought it was going to be pick and mix, and they were...
To be fair, some people were bitterly disappointed it wasn't just Haribo.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, people seem really happy with the tournament. I'm really glad the way it smoothly went. And like, a big shout out to Simon and Neil in particular, who A, hooked us up with the venue, and B, hooked us up with free coffee and tea for everyone who...
You love it. And you know what? There's a towel in that bathroom.
Hand towel. I demanded a hand towel in every toilet from now on to the... I should just carry a hand towel, wouldn't I?
You know what's great about Leodis? Is their purple's this very similar to our purple. So like, you walk in there and you sort of go, yeah, this is our purple. This is branding for us.
Branding. I was going to can we add like everything purple, everything that had TF on it? Yeah, we're doing the Umbrella Corporation style of branding. Should we get into it? Round one?
Mm-hmm. Hang on, let's go.
Do you want to start with your round one?
Let's go with you. You're the talker, aren't you? So you play.
We kind of like almost a bit too cold there. But yeah, you know.
I might leave this in.
Yeah, I went up against Jamie Brewster. A guy who's relatively fresh to the game.
He's been playing something like 8 weeks.
Yeah. But he's a war gaming experience, which helped. Just having kind of like internal knowledge of measurement and like what 4-inch roughly mean really does help. Not having to put widgets on the board before you've done, for your opponent to basically go, oh yeah. Well, to be fair, it's one of the few games where you almost always know what your opponent's going to do. Outside of something ridiculous. But yeah, Jamie, really fucking cool player. Just a really nice guy. He came up to me after the tournament. He came up to me a couple of times after, went, "Cat, you know, really looking forward to playing you again. We'll have to, I really want to practice this matchup." Love that attitude, by the way. Of like, he had a friend apparently who played Hunter, and he played for Gaffer. And he went, "Oh, we both play kind of goal scoring team. Can we do the back and forth?" And I just took the ball, kicked it to Fahad, fucked off to the corner, and it took him ages to just get a hold of the fucking ball. And
Fahad furious. "Oh, would you look at that? She's 10 inches from him. Yeah, she doesn't get the attack.
She's just going to charge a model in the corner of the pitch, don't make it." Which I think you can be cheeky, to be honest. She got quite a good jog, to be fair. But yeah, fucked off with the ball on Fahad. That was immediately a problem. And it allowed me to lock down a few of his models early. And yeah, I was able to get to his strikers. I was able to get Kinder in Kino's melee range, which can't, you know, negate unpredictable movement. I had Chaka boombox convert, plus one damage. Even if you're tough hide, you're taking damage. Everyone getting nerd. And I had a couple, I think I had one major pinned that just took free influence right out of my pocket on iron, and I was going to go forest in front of Ferran's Bay, nerd, pinned, your move. And I kind of, so many times I've had that on players where I know they're in the process of trying to figure out how to get around pinned, and I kind of, there isn't an answer to this. I've done this specifically to stop you from doing anything.
I'm trying to think my way out of it. You can't. The answer is you don't get it.
Yeah, that's just the spectacular.
The thing is, I also overheard you say, because we were on the tables next to each other, I think I overheard that activation, because you I heard something like, "Oh, but what if I glide or light footed or something?" And you went, "Yeah, but the forest also blocks line of sight." So yeah, it's like, even if you're in range of Theron, there's still that influence tax. You can't charge him. You've got to sprint and then buy the attack.
Yeah, traps in the way as well. So even if you clear, you walk in, get re-snared, for no reason. You know, it can allow that extra point of damage to eke out tough high model.
New hunters are devastating.
But yeah, we can be able to get hold of Kinder, get hold of Alloy, just slowly grind my way, kill
apprentices, fair apprentice hunting.
Yeah. And I was initially on the right track to potentially get my own goal backwards. I was still in a position where I could potentially kick to Ferran, Hearn, you know, for the big
bloop, off he goes.
Teleport run. Yeah. And he had last activation, and I was going, "This isn't going my way. I'll just fuck off and I'll try and do the damage I can do." And yeah, he came into me, and yeah, I was just able to get my range in. And when Kina walked in, I've had her on the board a few times now. You know, four games today, and I've had a couple of games from you. The new and improved Kina, great.
Underline improved.
Do not get me wrong.
I said underline improved.
Yeah. Do not get me wrong about the model at all. I a complete buff. Better than the old Kina in every way. But in many ways, I think somewhat, I don't know how to put it, lacking the character in a strange way, you know? There's like the kind of setup that went into the original Kina that made it feel like such a unique model.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's literally just, I roll my attack, whatever the highest result is, probably, almost invariably the best.
Mm.
Highest result, kick damage. There's no kind of thinking on where I'm putting the defense, what I'm trying to do to them. Am I trying to knock them down? Am I trying to lock them out? Am I trying to draw them in to try and negate, you know, a couple of models trying to get on her to negate the Fury.
Mm.
And you're like, 2-inch push, one knockdown, charge the other.
Yeah.
And you're just locking a couple of models down. And then you're putting the bear hug on the table. It does pain me a bit to lose the old Kina. That being said, I got an extra point of influence back, which is handy. Kina's still an amazing threatener. Mm. Better movement now as well, which always helps. But yeah, the thing with Kina, yeah.
I remember you saying that when we first got them, you were just like, where's my bear hug? And you're like, that's cool. You're like, cool. Looking at the playbook, I can objectively tell she's better, but she's lost her spirit. That's what he said. But then it was weird that if you had two-inch melee models engage Cena, you could almost lock out her big activation. There was that you could turn the bear off if you had enough. I mean, it took a lot, but you could bundle in and turn the bear off, which kind of didn't make sense. So the fact this new Cena is just like, I've got three attacks and it is going to be devastation. That feels like a bear. You know what I mean?
But you always imagine that in the scenario, you know, when you imagine that in your head going, oh, two models should lock her off. Yeah. And you just a picture, like, for some reason, Kina on her own.
Yeah.
And one corner, a picture of two.
Exactly. Yeah.
And go like, oh, yeah, well, I guess Kina's
in a complete
done.
Vacuum.
Her
yeah.
and walks up. Yeah. Out, singled out, Ferran comes in, snared. Oh, God, what have I fucking
yeah, exactly.
done?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, like... no. I'm like, all right, here we go. One swing, two swing, push out, you're done. other guy knocked down, 4 damage to the other guy charge. The faction's got Crucial Artery now, making a fucking incredible. Even 4 damage guaranteed on one hit, just by default, with how many times I turn around to people. You know, I never got money, I didn't get money wrapped because I didn't have the charge potential on the board. But when I hit that top of that player book, turn around and go, Momentum Heaven, putting that bleed token down and going, ooh. Fucking 10 damage. Nothing. Literally nothing. She gets a free attack.
That's the thing, because it's like, oh, as soon as that bleed goes down, you're just like, do I clear the condition and eat this 7 damage? Or do I heal and then take 3 later on? Like, fuck.
He just, he basically negates heal.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things original Keener actually did suffer from. Okay, Jamie played it really well. He knew what his model did. He was trying to push his victory thing. One thing that did give me the win, basically, is that I'd got Faris on her own. And I surrounded her, like, 3 models. Hearn had done his thing. And I had Keener left to go. And he had Hearth nearby, not been touched. And you're like, going, oh, I'm just going to jog Hearth into cover. And I came to him afterwards, going, even if I'd done a ridiculous amount of damage to Hearth, she wouldn't have died. And she could have gone in 3-inch melee, knocked him down, hurt me, basically.
Yeah.
And even if I'd done a charge, I fucking got ridiculous raps and all this, it would have still been, you'd have helped, you'd have saved Varys' life. What happened when her again, it's that thing of, it seemed counterintuitive to walk a model in to basically take hit and knock down, and that's all they do instead of doing damage. But that's kind of why I have someone like Hearth, who can have 3-inch melee on a legendary turn and knock people down momentarily on one, and just to go in and be an inconvenience. And that really would have fucked my activation up, to be honest. But again, he just jogged in the cover. I'm like, great, I've got one a glide of my own rough ground, I've got Faris all myself for free, and the amount of dice you can get. I came to it from point, I measure my dice in weight now, not how much I can get. And he said to me directly, he played against the Hunter guy and he played Scaffer and he played a goal scoring team, and he went, I'm not you, and he said it to me directly, I'm not you to your style of play, which is I fucked off for the ball and just fucking started murdering people. But yeah, I played it really good. A really cool guy as well.
Step 1, kill the ball. Step 2, Cena. Step 3, question. Step 4, profit.
Everyone can kill. That's the thing I like about it. We never count them out when you're like fucking... And Chaska's so good.
Sorry, wait, when you said everyone can kill and you just said Chaska's so good, you were saying when we got in the car that you were just like, at one point, you're like, drop the trap marker, Chaska, boombox dirge, just...
we'll get around to that, don't make no mistake. But yeah, boombox doing that amount of damage on Snared, and the fact that Chaka can just walk up to you with a free character play, well, I don't have to pay for it 9 times out of 10. But even though it costs free now, because I've got the extra damage, if anything, it just means when I use the free character play, I get free dice.
Get the extra dice, yeah.
So it took it from kind of a maybe for 4 damage to a definitely for 6 damage. I walk up to him one influence, push him into their own trap, boombox him alone defend. And yeah, even 5 going down to 4 defense on Snared. All but guaranteed. And the thing about having that good chunk of damage in one compacted area is that even tough hide is then limited.
Yeah.
Like, it goes down to 5. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not like you hit 3 and then hit 3. You know, turning 2 threes into 2 twos.
Yeah, it's a complete fucking difference. Love the changes to Chaka's playbook. Jamie quite happy with the changes to my team. And I felt good coming out of the match, Jamie. But Jamie, really fucking cool guy. And like I said, I can't actually wait to play against this guy again. And I said to him, just bring someone who can do a bit of damage. That was my only advice, really. I went, I really like what you're doing. You had your game plan.
So it's your fault he brought Ambulance Ledge into my game.
Oh, maybe. Good. the funny thing, I didn't say Ambulance Ledge. I went Furnish and Cast, because they've got great kick. I think Furnish got a fucking 3-8 kick, hasn't it? It's not bad at all. Cast, though, once they're on fire, fucking momentum 3 on 2 hits. It's not like she's a fucking super murderer, but she's fucking so reliable. You know what I mean? It's just literally, he come out and make it a threat. Instead of just, I've got all the... That's the thing I had in that game. Once the ball was out of the picture, it didn't turn into like, okay, now we're flogging at each other.
Yeah.
I went, I've got all the time in the world to just mow through the team
while
he figures out how to get the ball back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I finally got someone here. Okay, if I had free charging, I'm like, already clear target, obviously. 7 damage. The thing I like about having it on Fahad, it's like going, okay, I'll end within about 7 inch. Okay. And with Fahad, if you have a good day on my rap, you can get a ridiculous amount of damage.
You can well and truly get a chicken dinner if she goes nuts.
Yeah. But yeah, great fucking game, great fucking guy. Round 130,
Yeah, didn't go quite as well for me. Played Matt Walker. Oh, really nice guy. one thing I remember out of this is...
You shouldn't be talking so down. Matt's one of the few guys I could lose to a bit actually. I beat him every time. Maybe I'd be furious.
There was one thing he said, because this morning I was at a state. I was a wreck of a human being trying to like figure out my tack and stuff. Rolling dice. And at one point I went, oh man, you're very patient. And he went, I'm used to it. I'm a teacher. And I was just like, oh wow, okay. And he was like, not that I'm saying you're... Oh. Just sort of left it and let it hang.
Just turn around while you figure out tack. Clear on time you worked it.
Yeah, well... Really good game. I managed to get 2 goals, couldn't close out the third, and that's the story of my life at the minute, you know? Like, get the 2 goals nice and easy. I get 2 goals basically guaranteed.
Yeah, we played a casual game last night, and I had my very first 12 Imperial game to navigate. I honestly didn't think it was fucking possible.
Yeah. If you can control the ball, if you can get the ball, and you just lock them out... Yeah, it's all well and good saying that, oh, well, Azimuth's got that netted and you've got I Spy for the ranged, like, yeah, but it's a ball dislodge. You're knocking down the ball carrier. You're not getting it off them. Mm. You know, you've got Siren who can do that. I do need to bring Siren more. I think that's one thing I've learned from today. I need to figure out where Siren fits in. And well, it's just, who do I lose, man?
You were ruminating out loud quite a lot, like going, I think Fisherman are just my team.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I was coming away from every game, whether I won or lost, and I was just going, I just miss, like, the options, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually said at the end of the day, I said, like, I'm not even convinced that I enjoy playing Navigators. I know I enjoy playing Fathom, and it's like, well, guess which one of them is the swap model? So so I might actually get...
I just really like playing Fathom, like, oh yeah. I just like, for some reason, I don't know why, I'm enjoying the game when I've got like 27 inch of fringe, right? I don't know. 28 fringe. Yeah, just, I don't know why, when I can cover, literally, I can go from one end of the pitch to the other.
And back again.
and there's nothing anyone can do. For some reason, I just feel better about them.
Yeah. I think I'm going to stick Navigators out. I'm going to stick it out, I'm going to fight them out, see if I can figure them out. Now the playing field's been leveled. Season 4 has come, you know. Now everyone's had their Season 4 changes. I think they're now a Season 4 team in a Season 4 world instead of a Season 4 team in a Season 3 world. So there's a new opportunity for me to try and relearn them, you know. Like, I had a bit of a rocky start with them when I first started proxying them.
Yeah.
Still proxying them. I think I can fight through it because I do enjoy, like, Azimuth. I enjoy Windfinder's legendary. I have so much fun with Horizon, with that weird little jank he's got, you know. Ebb, just, oh my god, just seeing tears of blood when Ebb's on the board. Yes, what I need to start doing is not just bringing them six. I need to start bringing Siren and Angel and figuring out where they fit in. And it might just be a case if I go back to my fish and I take Fallon with me.
Yeah. Link that version with Angel as well. Literally covers your entire striking need. Mm. That ability to just go, if I could just get hold of the ball with Fallon, I know I can make it so the guy can't get in the way.
Yeah.
That's
it. I don't think, like, there was loads of questions when they were like, oh, linked Angel. So many people bombarded Facebook and the forums with questions of, right, so when you score a goal, at what point do you have to declare linked Angel? And I'm like, no, that's not it. That's definitely not it. It's when you need that layer of security. The problem with goal scoring, if you haven't got direct run, is the fact that there's a moment where you put the ball on someone and they've got, your opponent's now got an activation where they've got this huge, like, target slapped on Angel's back while she's standing there waiting to start moving with the ball. The fact you can go, ball goes across, she's got it, my turn again, off she goes.
Yeah.
I think that's where the strength lies.
I honestly think linked is not meant to be like this generic you all the time player. It's meant to be when you're an 8 and you know you're just that fucking one goal away from fucking finishing off a game and being able to turn around to an opponent going, alright, she's got the ball. She kicks even vaguely in Angel's direction with a 10 inch fucking kick and 8 inch move. Unless you've already locked in Jarvis out, just the ability to go, okay, I have time. I bought myself another turn worth of time to just go in. Yeah, super fucking good. Might be the thing. Might be the switch.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick it out with Navigators for reasons.
Well, shame you don't have more shit about Matt. He's probably one of my favourite players.
Just really nice, incredibly patient guy.
You came up to me again and went and go, oh, I get what you mean about Matt. Just really fucking nice dude, and a good player too. I think he did really well.
Welcome to the firm, a Matt appreciation podcast.
We had a few games for, like, we'll mention, like, other players, like Tony. Tony's another nice guy.
round two, where you flew to table two.
Oosh, learn on table two. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not kidding. Every time I get into a tournament, my personal demon, Dave Millington, shows up. And he plays my fucking least favourite team. Probably one of my least favourite teams to go into. Fishermen, I could at least envision how I beat them. Morticians are one of those teams where you just... At no point in anything I do, like, a legitimate defence against Morticians. It just always feels like there's no way to really get them, put them on the back foot, do you know what I mean? Mm. And go, aha, which are, you know, the turnaround where you go, ah, yeah, fucking Morticians play it. Now you know how it feels. It just, no, I always felt like the Mortician player is just one step away from going, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like when they go,
this happens because I want it to.
Yeah, I'm going.
That's
yeah,
the control game though, isn't it? That's the control game.
Take all your momentum and yeah, I'm guaranteed the turn now. No, I've got a lead, heal everyone. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Puppet Master, I guess I'll be doing that. What else? Yeah, and you almost feel like they're almost spoiled for options, you know what I mean? And I think with the control thing, I think if they were really middling in the other departments, but they just feel super strong in all areas. You always feel like they're powerful on the kick. You always feel like they're powerful on the takeout. You got Pelage coming in, fucking slicing people up.
Mm. Bonesaw scoring for fun.
Yeah, Bonesaw fucking walking around. And
yeah.
And yet even Obulus, even though it's a kind of, his playbook is middling, really. Because he can have seven, even if he's guaranteed like seven damage, just off nothing. If he gets all two every time. Like 14 damage for now.
Yeah.
And his team, I think, had 14 influence starting out. It's like, fucking hell, like, yeah, that's literally a full stack on a lot of characters. And I just went in there with, like, the negative mindset. But we had a turn. But Dave did, I think, it's the right thing in that game. I was able to get, he had a kickstarter and it just went to me.
Mm.
If I had defense, nimble, fuck off for that ball, not even thinking about it. Mm.
Just charges your goalpost.
I when I saw where it landed up, I knew I couldn't get away with the charge. I like two on her, nimble sprint, get her to the corner of the pitch as soon as possible. I'm not letting you have. I basically, I'm not letting you have your bonus goal. Mm. And Dave rightfully picked up on that early and went, "I'm not gonna go. No, I'm trying to get this."
Yeah.
But I was able to slowly push my range into. He didn't come to me.
Mm.
Good. He made me come into his range, but I started getting my moving up, getting my character plays moving, getting them flared up, getting ready for the big push. Which for me is what first turn is about. I have a try and lure them into my lines or coffin them up and snared for the big activation.
Turn one is something I just want to practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's we don't get a lot of games in a week, so it's when we do get to play, I just want to go, let's just fucking play Guild Ball. But something I want to do to improve as a player is just sit down and play turn one and play turn one again and then play it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think it was strictly, yeah, it was strictly the worst. Like I even, because I messaged them and I was even on Twitter, I tweeted them and I was like, like, what do you do? Like, what's the objective of it? Because I know I want to try it. And I was just sort of, I always find it hard because any time I've tried to do it, I've just gone, should we just keep playing?
Yeah.
It's just that, it's that thing of seeing, setting yourself up and then seeing where you'd go from there.
Yeah, well, that's a different drill. It's weird. I never put that, I can't tell what we've got. I don't put that much thought into where my even first turn position is. My plan usually is relatively same all the time. I'm going to try and get flared up. I'm going to try and get a bit of momentum. I'll try and get fired the ball if I can, but most likely not. It's just, whatever, I'll push.
But you say that, though, but both the games you've talked about today, you put the ball on for hard. The games we played yesterday, you put the ball on for hard. You're saying that you don't know if you've got a turn one game plan, but it might be the case if you do it without even realising.
I mean, it's just a case of, like, not about doing, obviously, it's not literally random.
Yeah.
Like, if I know that, if the guy's put the guy on the right side of the field, I'm going to put Fahad on the right side of the field, anticipating the kick to be generally in that direction. Mm. Knowing I can have someone easily, by default, make it to the ball, kick it backwards.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to do that. And have JKR walk up and put traps down, and Jack put up and put traps down. The whole process isn't one of, like, but I don't have, like, measuring sticks and go, all right, I need her to be 2 inches here, I need her to be...
Oh, yeah, No time for that.
I want Fahad in that general direction. Yeah. I want Chaska roughly guarding one edge of the pitch.
Mm.
I want her near Ferran. Kina kind of goes wherever. I'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
She'll jog off one way, I'll jog off the other. But I had one with a Dave where he'd, I think by the end of the beginning of the second turn, I was fine. Look, he'd extended, I think, Pelage into me. And I'd closed the ring around her, got snared, walked in.
Is that the bear eating Pelage?
No. That's just my team. The oldest team. And I had that thing with, like, he put Dirge out and I'm going, I'd look at Dirge and Carfan going, oh, go on then, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I'd walk walked off with a tracker, put a track down in front of me. I didn't even get to attack to get off the nerd. I had one on him. I just like jog up, tuck him. Put the trap down in range of dirge. Boom, walk for the free heroic. Get it on free dive, hitting on five. Get the five. Boom, damage to the boom box. One for the trap. Instantly dead. I had no momentum.
Jeez.
So it's like, I'll take my two of nothing. Okay, get one VP, one momentum for the. And for it, that really came back to help me later on because I just did kill the entire game. Mm. I never got an opportunity to go. And that's one thing that I feel like people kind of mistake about my playstyle, that I intentionally go for kill. But I know if I try and go goal scorer, that's precisely what the person, almost always what the person want.
To free the ball back into the game.
Yeah, they want me to come into there.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you gone, ha, the guy scored from goal, it's fucking over.
Yeah, like when you sit there, it's when you sit there on 8 or when you sit there on 6 with a takeout just looking at you and you just go, God, my life would be so much easier if I could just have a goal kick right now.
Yeah.
just score, man. Like,
no, that. That ability to just, that's part, a big part of my game, trying to do, my thing, playing Street Fighter, one of the first things that took me from mid-tier to literally very competitive was the changing thought of not trying to just do what you want all the time, try and think of what the opponent doesn't want to happen. And one was that I was like playing against my own character, I was playing like a boxer matchup, boxer versus boxer, and he got like a dash punch, right, where he goes across the screen, it's like a big punch, and it looks really big. If you hit him low, it automatically beats the move. And you can do it with any low move. But any time you hit, like, little light punch, just knock him out of it. And I'm going like, and someone did it to me. I go, fuck me, that's annoying. God, I completely fucked my game plan up for this game. And I was just twisting in the wind, thinking what to do. And the next time I played against another box, I went, oh, fuck it, I'll try it. Fuck, it worked. And I could see it in real time, the guy breaking down. And he was just thinking, like, yeah, maybe just try and throw a wrench into their plan instead of just going, I just want to swing. And again, I'd get goal if I could, but I'm also not going to just run someone up with a ball into your thing to go bunk or take it again for free 8-inch kick, like, yeah, interest. But Dave ended up for the winning thing, Dave ended up having, it was a goal run. If I hadn't got the kill, Dave was golden. Dirge was on my calf health. Dirge had come and grabbed the ball to give to Bunkor had come up, and I had Hearn had already been killed. He walked on at the edge of the pitch, just crowded him out, got Ferran with a full stick of butter, just got killed Dirge. And Dave went for the counter attack on Ferran. I went bit to bit, jog bit to bit. And he went for the counter-attack. And if he got, I think, all three hits, he would have got a double dodge. Wouldn't have ended my turn, but it would have made it a lot less likely.
Yeah.
Didn't get it, obviously. You're like, oh, fuck, I'll single you out just in case.
Yeah.
If he got to Bonesaw, he could have unexpected arrival, potentially Hearn and Ferran off the pitch. Yeah. Got to go and won the game. It would have been a monstrous activation if I'd not taken the bit. But yeah, Dirge on like three health, walked in, swing, whatever. And then just like, yeah, I've just got all day to eke you out. Eventually killed the bird. But that original takeout, putting me to 11, MVP came back to help me out later on down the line. If that hadn't happened, I'd have had to go into bone core. And even with kick, 5 defense is a fucking world of difference. He had 10 health. I would have needed a fair few hits. I would have got the third undoubtedly eventually. And the free character play, nowhere near guaranteed. And more importantly, bone core counter attacks. You have to fucking push dodge on like 3 hits as opposed to 5 tackle on 3 hits.
Yeah.
Very fucking doable. So Dave said to me, we had super even dice, both of us, that game. And Dave just went, listen, the dice were fine, they wasn't a thing, I made mistakes and you didn't. And I couldn't believe I won.
Yeah.
Dave's a very fucking hard guy to beat. And the Morticians in particular are a hard team to beat.
It's good, isn't it? Every meta has that person. You know, that person who's been playing longer than everyone else. You know, that person who, when you're at club night and you just go, oh, I've got a rules query. And it's the person you're looking for when you turn around trying to find someone who can answer a question. So when you do, you feel like you've killed the white whale, you know?
He's just that guy. I kept to him, he's like, he's the demon of the tournament. Like, he's just like... Yeah. He's got that like psychic aura that goes off like, going, oh, fuck it, I'll fucking do it. Second game! That my thing going. The only thing, I felt so relieved when I beat him as well. I went, if I beat Dave now, it means I'm not going to play again. I honestly think Dave gets stronger as more games go on. And I think that fear.
I'm only at 10% of my true power.
I do generally believe, like, if he can grand final, that's when he played in fact. Can you just, yeah, fucking, oof. And more importantly, the one game where it didn't come down to, it came down to very clean parts of the game. So there wasn't any, like, super measuring widget where, basically, we had to factor in, like, fuckery.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, I walk up, I can get back to back, I attack.
Yeah.
Like, see how it goes. Yeah, it's really fucking cool game. You're on to?
Yeah, Myron 2 played into Andy, played into engineers. Played Andy a lot over, like, my season, my Guild Ball career.
Me and Andy have really gotten to know each other.
Yeah.
You used to play Butchers, didn't
you? Yeah, he's played Butchers as well. Yeah. I've played his Butchers and I've played his Engineers, but it's sort of a, every time I sit down, it's, we know it's going to be ping pong, you know? We know that's what we sort of, that's...
Oh, fuck, I just got the score. What the fuck happened in the game?
I got the ping, he didn't get the pongs.
Oh.
Yeah. Went 12-1. The one was from Horizon, which set Horizon up where Horizon wants to be, you know?
That's the thing I don't like about Horizon. It's like killing him, it's worse for you.
Yeah, there's it, like the flowchart of Horizon is he's hanging around there. Do you kill him? Yes. Well, you fucked it. He's in your deployment zone. Do you kill him? No. Well, you fucked it. He's there for a goal. Like, he's just a problem wherever he is.
It feels like a 1VP model that's got the threat of a captain. You turn around and go, right, I'm just going to get on him with one health. I'll keep him in my 2-inch melee, whatever.
Mm.
And if I'm going, I've got 5-inch of dodge. Motherfucker, you need 3 people to keep me if you want to play that game. Yeah. I'm out, and I'm already wreaking havoc on you.
And you know what? If you do kill me, I'm worth 1.
Yeah, have 1. I'll be back with full health in a fucking minute. In fact, like, you don't even kick him to the back of your line, like, going, it's literally like Agent Smith. You just kill him, and he just walks out another door, going, yeah, back. All right, where were we?
Yeah, and it's that, it's the stellar navigation, you know, it's the 3 5-inch dodge, which is huge.
Yeah, it's...
4-6 move isn't good, but the thing it's made up for, you know.
Yeah.
If you
had to take your advance first, I'd think that'd be a lot more different. Like, you could try and lock him down.
Yeah.
You go like, all right, I'm in melee, move a little, attack. All right, now I'm going to do
the final. It's like, it's one of the staples of a character with where they go, or with, in most cases, acrobatic. It's, this is a horrible situation. Good job I've got this. 1 influence, I'm gone.
It's why I rate where they go so highly. It's literally one of the most flexible character traits in the game. Adds so much movement to a character. More importantly, gets them out of situations that are just... It'll get you almost out of any bad time.
The thing about it as well was Andy ran compound, and it was just... There was times where Horizon had the ball, and so I sprinted him to 6 point, like, a gnat's hair away from compound, and then just dodges in.
It's like fucking, what's the guy from Mr. Fantastic from Fantastic Four? Like, walks up to the very edge and he's like, alright, fine, and then like the one long leg, fucking, I'm just next to you, if you don't mind.
It's just the fact that you can sort of go, it turns off those traditional goalies, you know, that sort of the tenderizer, the compound, that thing of like, well, I need to stand near the goal to get my rush keeper, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to dodge straight past you. You don't even have to lock him up with someone. He's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. He died. He killed Horizon. Horizon got the reset, came in where he wanted to be. But he just controlled, so he slowed it down so much. Just because, like, any time someone had the ball, he was just like, ballista, dead bolt, no. And I was just like, scatter, right. I've now got to spend 2 activations picking it up, trying to get it across to someone else. You know, and it's just, there was a lot of, we were like 2 little kids pulling at the same toy.
Yeah.
I've got the ball. No, you've got the ball. No, I've got the ball. The thing is, I was just able to get the odd break to get the goal.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, there was one point where I looked particularly boned, and then Azimuth came in with 3 and got 3 knockdowns on people who weren't even that.
He had no business knockdowns on.
Yeah. He just walks in and just goes, okay. So it was like Colossus, 2s and 2. I'm like, nice.
Yeah, just...
First hit, he's knocked down. So that's 6th attack. That goes up to 7. Oh, you got 2 armor. Doesn't matter. I need 3 hits.
On 2, with a reroll.
You're netted. And with the reroll, you need to roll a 1. And then another 1. You know what I mean? Like, on that dice. You know?
To get 1 and then 1 again, it's so fucking statistically unlikely. When you don't even need the full stick of butter.
I mean, like, it's my thing with netted is it's nice to hit it momentously on 5.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, when you need it, it's because you need it. So having it on 3, non-momentously, with rerolls.
Well, you're still doing it, even non-momentously, even if you are getting momentum, you're taking their momentum.
Yeah.
Because they knock down is one of the few non-negotiable conditions.
One of the great things about Azimuth is when he gets full speed ahead, and he's got a full stick of butter. If he goes in on the right model, you can knock down 5 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get, if, like, the situation has to be right.
I like that situation, you know, where you turn around going, oh, there are only 3 people in range. Fine. Yeah. I'll do damage.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. You know, you sort of just go, you go in and you go, okay, so I've got my free charge. So at the, and I got the wrap. At the top of the book, I'll take a momentous netted. On the wrap, I'll take the knockdown on the model I'm engaged. Yeah. And you're like, well, the netted comes with a dodge, so I'll just come a bit closer to the guy I need to get. And then you've got 3 attacks targeting a knockdown model. Like, you just, he's great. I really like him. And I scored a couple of goals with him today, actually.
I honestly think actually probably one of the strongest models on the Navigator.
The thing about the Navigators is that outside of the mascot, there is a 2-6 kick, which really is a 4-6 kick.
Yeah.
Is the, like...
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. If you've got momentum, it literally just doesn't matter. Snapshots are probably the only area the Navigator suffer in.
And even then, bonus time, it, no, okay.
Helps, doesn't it? Because you still get the reroll, you still get a chance. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. But the 2, all of a sudden, that, not having 4 kick or 5 kick, like, or, like, you know, a Velocity or an Angel style figure, who you need a weight of dice to help get the 2-4. With the reroll, it's very much more heart of the dice.
Yeah.
But you still get the double chance. It's still kind of 4 kick. Depending on... if you're tapping range, even better. Mm. But, like, yeah, I think that's the only area I can specifically say they're suffering kick-wise, where the re-rolling, where the, you know, the limitations they have because of the re-rolling actually come back to haunt them. But to be fair, if you're going for the snapshot, it's probably fucking gone wrong.
Well, I've won games with snapshots with Navigators, but it is always that Hail Mary. It's that, I need this game to end. I need this game to end now.
Like,
is it when you've got Vetsinder just sort of sharpening a spear, just eyeing up like a scrum of your guys.
I should go after Ev. I will get to that, but move on, Kai. I will come back to that in a second.
So you went into a Hunter's Mirror now.
This was a hard loss, ladies and gentlemen. I went up against Mark Payton, who we played against each other. We go to the tournament together all the fucking time. He's there all the time. So, yeah, me and Mark have, like, shaken hands and shit all the time. A fellow Hunter's player, more importantly. Which, by default, means I have about 10% more respect for him than any other player. And Falconer get about 5% more.
Mm.
But he plays like a very gaffer. He brought Kena, he brought Killer, got Vetmink, he had Jaker, but he didn't have Ulfra, but he had Gaffer, and he didn't back enough. Pretty much all he...
Before we get into it, did the snowball goal happen at all?
No.
Okay.
When Scarf was doing the thing, she had the actual wall. So, yeah. And the second he came in early, and I was like, I am going to just run a train. And sure enough, get her to 1 health.
Mm.
Farm her for momentum. Yeah. Lead. Get her to where I know she'll be on 1 health at the beginning of a turn. Speak to bear.
Seeing her just teeth in her shoulders, just throwing her around like a rag doll.
Yeah. One thing that did come back to haunt me is that I ganged up on Scaffer to, and the good thing is I had Fahad out of range, we had a free Furia, Kena getting a free attack, Jake I can put a trap down, and they would go. That would just, I didn't even need to put influence on them to guarantee the kill. I could put a trap down, fuck off. Kena could just swing, kill her instantly, and Fahad could charge for free on a third target. You literally needed a couple of hits and you golden. So I was like, didn't you have to put influence on them? So the rest went to everyone else.
Yeah.
But Egret came in, fucking flurry, fucking poisoned all 3 of them, did damage, and that poison actually came back to hurt me a fair bit. Fahad in particular, because I'm like, oh fuck, I've taken damage. Fahad's already hurt. I'm better off healing the 4 because I've got 5 defense. Yeah. But the poison kept eating a third of her health every time. Didn't really hurt me overall, but it became a concern.
That one momentum you spent healed 4, whereas clearing the condition would have healed. How many turns did it go on for?
She took poison twice. It hurt. It turned it from something I could ignore from something I had to deal with.
It was at least a consideration every turn, yeah.
Yeah. And again, for JK, he got poisoned. That became a problem. The way he got goal, he got 2 goals for Gaffer and I think 2 takeouts. He ended goal. He ended with a takeout. It doesn't particularly matter. 2 goals, 2 takeouts from him, calf. He ended with killing Farron. And I had Farron on pretty good fucking health. I had him out 13 or 16, and Kena just swung. I don't think he was even snared, and he was just fucking 5-5-5.
Yeah.
And he got like a huge hit. He had a huge spike at one point, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, he couldn't survive free attack. If he had, I could have got him out of there.
Yeah.
Basically. But at one point, right?
Yeah, the thing is though, if he'd survived, then he wouldn't have died, so that would have been good.
That would have helped.
Yeah.
It certainly would have helped towards my general game plan of not being dead. But he had a full stack on him. You know, he could have moved on, healed himself, got the fuck out of there. The one thing that really hurt me is that I had, if I had him, Keen were kind of together on the Mark side, and Ferran had a full stack with the ball nearish to the goal.
Yeah.
I put a trap down, and it got in the way of my own thing. Didn't fundamentally hurt what I was trying to do, but I charged for Had. I went, I just need two hits for a double dodge, no problem. I know he only had one momentum. He took the bait, went for the defensive, so counter-attack right out the window. Got my double dodge, bang. Yeah. Got a bit of momentum, build a bit of momentum on Keener, then tried to double dodge, and got into range. I had to take all his momentum, double dodge, but I had the one momentum that I needed to get in range of the goal. Get into range of the goal, clear line of sight, go for the kick, free dive, she don't get it. And I ended on 8 with a very comfortable kill on Agret.
Yeah.
Keener was catching up to her, and if I'd got on that goal, I think I was in a game winning situation, basically. Because Agret, there was no one could put that off, and more importantly, if he'd done the goal kick, it would have made the ball so much more active.
Yeah.
It would have meant that all of a sudden it was something he couldn't ignore.
Yeah.
It would have for like Gaffer and stuff like that. He ended up getting a second goal off the back of that ball being bounced up against him.
Yeah.
I think Jake out there ran off of the ball, passed to Gaffer. Where that really came back to haunt me was that if I had got the goal, an extra influence and all that lot, the way it really would have helped me is that it would have meant any takeout I could potentially get becomes an emergency, and it would have detracted from his ability to get
off. Yeah.
And okay, when I had a great, I swung with a Volcano, barely like survived by half a point of damage, walked off, JKR charged her, bang, killed her. And he was gonna get it. But that was just one point going, if I had that goal, they can mine to take. And I didn't feel like hard pressed about it. It's a hard one to take, you know, where I went for the big plan with Ferran, the big activation, and that was the influence I really could have used elsewhere.
Mm.
To be honest. If I knew I wasn't going to get the goal, I would have just swung at Keena and just chipped away.
Yeah.
For kick damage, for kick defence, you fucking activation, if you're going to go, that was yeah, that was one of them ones where I was just like, fuck. And I still kept pushing my VP, but
yeah.
Once the ball back in play on Mark's side, I knew I was in major fucking trouble. Because Gafford come in on her side of the edge at the pitch where I couldn't reach her, and she had fast round already. Fucking, yeah. And he measured it out, passed. Yeah. Got the goal, fucking scored it out. Yeah, well, good player. He went, you shouldn't have brought Ferran. And I will not hear that blasphemy. Ferran's the great captain who ever lived. There is only one Hutton captain, and it's Ferran. I'm just wanting some hate mail. But yeah, great game. How did you do on round 3?
So I played Jamie, the Blacksmith player that you played earlier in the tournament. This. It didn't end how I would have liked it to end, to be honest. Went to dice down, Jamie won because he kicked off. We were at, to be fair, he should have won. Vetsinda had a 6-point activation and like on the table. I'm not even saying on the table. I think that he rolled his dice and something happened for the mortar to just go, nope. So
you should roll a bunch of one.
Yeah.
You're fucking
so, so like went in so charged Fathom. So Vetsinda has a ball, charges Fathom. The first time Fathom doesn't do a million damage, right? Manages to do 6 damage, puts Fathom on 1 health, right? He's got one ball, he's got one influence left. He goes, right, fine. Because he's literally less than an inch away from my goal. He goes, right, fine, have the shot. I think he bonus timed it because obviously the crowd up from Fathom. Rolls a 1. Oh. And it's just like, mate, that should have been 6 points. That should have... yeah, yeah. Brutal.
You know what's funny? I think it was Jamie as well playing against originally, where you do that thing where you turn around and go... I think he had a couple of bad dice on mine as well. But that thing where you turn around and go, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Mm.
And you're like... And you literally turn around to me and go, what a knobhead. What a knobhead I am.
The thing about this game is that I deserved to lose it in a much better way for Jamie than going to dice now. He just... objectively made better decisions than I did throughout the entire game. Like, even come down to, like, to bring models on for the last turn, I brought them both on one side, so we just took the ball onto the other. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? You know what I mean? That's like, that's... I'm lost for words at how stupid an idea that was.
I think I can't remember who said it, but I came to it later on. But no, Simon went and go, oh, we're looking forward to playing against Navigator. Like, what happened? Like, why didn't you take first place? I turned around and went going, I don't know what's up with him. We should be fucking crushing these form we've been making. You've been making some very dubious decisions.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just not... It's almost like I'm psyching myself out of everything. Like, when we're playing, and I think it's fair to say that the majority of our games lately, the win ratio has flipped. You used to win all of our games.
Yeah.
I'm winning the vast majority of them at the minute. And I don't know why there's this sort of gulf between playing Guild Ball in my kitchen and then being at an event. I don't know where this has suddenly come from, that I've just started doubting, like, which is something I've struggled with before and gotten over, and I've now just started doing it again, and it's like, what am I doing? And like, I'm standing there knowing I'm doing it and then making the wrong decision anyway. It's really frustrating.
You think you're playing against people you're not into, like, you feel like a bit, you've got a part of your brain that goes, I don't want to be too much of like a try-hard prick, kind of.
I don't know, maybe.
You're like going, oh, I could go for this here and measure all the millimeters and do my widget thing and go, like, I don't know. Or it's like going, like, oh, just fuck it, bring them on here. I don't know, like, we've got a level of familiarity now where you're just like, there's literally no owner between
you. I mean, it's not necessarily that it happened today, but there have been times recently where, like, someone puts a measurement down and it's like the tiniest fraction out, and I sort of go, oh, no, it's fine, you know. Whereas if you put it down, I sort of look up at you and with this huge grin across my face go, no.
Every time we do it, I almost kind of tradition to go, I'll leave it to your sense of fairness, something like that. Going, like, I'll let you decide whether I've got this.
And I go, and you don't.
No, we've dealt with a pretty good system generally. For, like, there are very few situations where it's like going, like, a genuine difference of opinion. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't have it, whatever.
Yeah. But, Jamie just should have had it, you know. Played him at the last event that Leonis went to, and I remember saying then that he's going to be fucking great because he's a really good player.
I walked up to this table, right, because we're going to dice down, and, you know, we're helping.
I will say one thing, though, that I knew the round timer was burning down. And I asked because I wanted to know just how bad it was. But I said to you, how long's left? What I should have said is there long left? So when you went, oh, there's 10 minutes left, I was like, fuck, well, now I know something that as a player I shouldn't really know. I looked across at my clock, I had like 11 and a half minutes left when I was 8-6 up. Like, what I could have done is just gone cool and then just stood there. Because it was my activation.
But
I'm not going to do that. I tried to chase a ball down that I was never going to get, like, in across the activations, just because that's playing the game, not standing there watching the clock burn down.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
Maybe if it was SteamCon UK last chance qualifier, maybe I'd be more inclined to do something like that if. But
that's the thing, don't get me wrong, I do not particularly, I have no love for A, the clock, and B, dice down, but that's the nature of the tournament.
It's got to happen, because everyone's got to go home at some point.
You need a clock and you need dice down. So, and there is a set time for dice down. It's not like, it's a secret. Yeah. Like, I'll never tell!
Yeah. But, the end of this game was just...
I walked up to this table, right, I was getting ready to go, like, I went, yeah, I went 10 minutes to dice down. There's another game with dice down while going on. And I finished mine, and this guy was halfway, poor Jamie, because I felt his pain. He went in, right, with that Kinder charge, and went, alright, 2, and I get the hearing, you know, the fuck you charge, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you turned around and went, yeah, 2 damage, because that's all just one action. And you're like going, but it's like a character, another player was like, and I could see it in real time.
There was like, we won the last game, so there was like, out of the 16 players, that I think like 8 people were standing around in this game, and like, I went, yeah, it's just 2. And a few other people were like, but it's a character trait, and I was like,
I fucking love this, right? Because in real time, I could see players going through what I went, going, you can't, like, that, you wasn't even like, oh, that's a bit much, or, oh, that's pretty good. I mean, literally, like, you cannot be fucking serious moment that I'd gone through the navigator and come on here and gone, listen, Ebb, that is bullshit that wrapped up.
That's it, because there was another one where he goes, all right, I got that you got wrap. And then he goes, okay, so that's 2. And then on the thing, he just looked at me and went, and then 1 on the wrap? And I was like, no.
Well, one guy went, well, character trait damage, that's different, and went, no, the sweeping charge, it count, it just basically added to your attack.
Yeah, it's part of the action.
Yeah, like, it just, the ebb card is literally, anything you do is just 2 damage. That's basically what the rule says. Any action is reduced to 2 damage. And when you attack, everything you do in the course of the attack is effectively simultaneous. So it's combined, effectively. Mm. Unless it says condition damage, like traps are different. Because even if I trigger a trap off a push, even though they both happen together, they're technically 2 separate things. I put the trap down, I push, then get off the trap. But with this, sweeping charge, where it's all one thing. And if another guy came up, Adam, there we go, yeah, that... This dude is fucking cracking me up all I don't know why. I'm thinking the fact you can make me laugh is really picking me off. I'm just going, you fucking Norvid, you're cracking me up. I don't know why. I like it. I go, I don't know why you're funny. I don't, at least me, you fucking Norvid, get out of here. But he went going, surely condition damage, like, you can character it, and I'm like, no.
I was standing there just going, I'm sorry, but it's why,
like... And Jamie was like going like, I can't, I only think I did that charge. And you went, oh, do you want to take the charge back and just do an attack? And you see the thing of like going, I guess. And you're going like, and you turn around and went, well, no, I've declared the charge, I've done it.
Mm.
Like, fuck, whatever, fuck it, going in.
So but, we both had like a really good, enjoyable game until like the last 5 minutes where it was just like, well, fuck. But
getting that luck in real time of like other players going, trying to negotiate their way out of the duel, yeah, the way I tried to like crack the nut. And go like, I knew you'd come around with us. I knew they all come crawling back eventually. And but yeah, I could just, and I felt like I really wanted to go up to Jamie and went, it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
But I was obviously like observing for the fake of the clock. But I could just see it on his face like going, dude, I fucking totally get you.
Like it didn't get heated. It didn't get
It's not like he went in your face and went, oh fuck you, you should just,
yeah. It didn't point at me and go, you're the prick.
It's not
yeah.
in anger, it's not in thing. It's just in that feel, it's in the, you literally sense it like vacuum air, like air being vacuumed out of a room. It's literally going like, alright, I'll do the 3 damage and the sweeping charge, and you're like, all of that 2 damage, and it's just, and like going, and then you can literally see it in the, you can see it in the face.
Mm.
Like that's the thing that gets me about it. You literally, I saw it in his face just going, oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking really? All of that? And I went up to him like going, yeah, there's nothing worse than going, momentum 22. Momentum anything you want in the entire fucking world, 2. And I came like, yeah, dude, you don't need to tell me twice, but fuck it now.
Yeah.
but yeah, just... And like
I suddenly felt like though I suddenly felt like the spin team for like the Steamforge development stuff, because I had like 5 people going, but what about, but it's condition damage, but it's a separate thing, but it's only, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's I'm sorry, but no.
No spin team never apologized, going like no comment, it was normalised that way. It was, that's just how the way we do things. Mm. You can see the rule, it's very clear. Anything at all, ever, is just 2 damage. So,
but what about the condition damage? That's fake news.
That actually is not... I don't really have to comment on condition damage, that'd be different, but you don't stipulate condition. I think you'll find it's... but character trait damage, isn't that different? No, actually, character trait is combined into the actual attack itself.
So I'm afraid that that charge, including the sweeping charge, comes down to 1 action, for which Ebb is only going to take a maximum of 2 damage.
Yeah. You will get your momentum, though. How about that?
And you can continue to take these attacks. Yes, he's still knocked down. Yes, he is 3-0. Yes, you have all them crowd outs. Yes, he is singled out. I'm afraid it's 2 damage maximum, though.
Back, like, fucking denying the mortgage over yeah. and over again, going like, but what, you singled out, fucking... Yeah, that's the thing that gets me. It's just like, no matter how much, literally, I could get my entire bag of dice, empty it onto the table.
Yeah.
2 kilograms worth of dice, 2 damage. Just the look on his face, I'm like, dude.
But yeah, he'd managed to equalise it to 8-all, and then dice down. He kicked me, so he won.
Yeah, why is the rule like that?
They've got to rule it somehow, haven't they?
I guess. Yeah. I just find, if it's equal, I might as well just roll off.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose the fact is that you start the game, inverted commas, at a disadvantage, because you're giving away the resource.
You do get a point of momentum, but it's not really that much compensation, really.
Yeah,
to be fair, if you manage to retain a kick it and still make it a draw...
Nah, no... The way the game was going, I don't think there was a timeline where I won. it just felt a bit shit that the reason I felt bad for him that he won because like
he couldn't win
yeah.
properly
yeah because like it's not even like he could go oh well it was 10-8 at Dice Down because I killed Eb, you know, it was just that sort of right, I've got him, you know, Vets in the pools and a big girl trousers, off she goes, oh yeah, no, then no, also no again,
yeah,
one last no.
I had that when I played against your team the other day, where I think I had Jake out on a full stick and Eb had like 9 health, and I went, well, actually no.
Yeah.
Or not 10 health.
Yeah.
Kind of like even at with the trap, mm-hmm. I'm like going, well, actually no.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, yeah, or whatever.
It was good though. We had an incredibly fun first 95% of the game. We had a bit of a last 5% of the game. Then we shook on it. We had a hug. You know, sort of hugged it out. There we go.
Yeah, but I could tell that one that I think you literally went right out to get like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
right
you've
had a few moments like that anyway. The entire tournament, basically gone. Dude, are you fucking kidding me? In April. Round four.
The final round.
The very final round. I went up against Jake Fox from the Rookie Podcast. Me and Jake line up, I think, in a lot of ways in terms of play style. I think one of the things I liked about playing him in this game, even though they took a fucking slog of a game. Strategically, I think a good game. Bit sloppy in areas, but I felt like we had a meeting of minds of a kind.
Mm.
And I think Jake, and this was a really fucking weird one. I went out a bit to push him to his ranging. And he extended into me quite early. And I think he just underestimated just what guys like Chaska and Fina can get away with.
Yeah.
Fresher tried to
especially go. With him playing the Farmers. It's just like, with Chaska, it's just like, do you want to even bother rolling it? Because you're going to get it. And it's Cena, it's how many dice you're rolling, because just say that many number momentously.
It's not, yeah, I'm shaving them down with the character play.
Mm.
And Jake said it to me right after, when I wasn't expecting you to be able to keep up my momentum generation. That being said, Fresher's still fucking Fresher at the end of the day. Super powerful captain. The only thing about going up against Fresher is that, I don't know how to put this, he gets what he wants while piling on momentum.
Mm. It's not like it's do I want that or do I want the momentum? It's the
kind of like I'm getting damage and I'm getting momentum.
Mm.
He gets from an F2 on one hit. So on the shittest of the call, he should be walking away with 10 damage at the shittest with 5 momentum.
Mm.
Really. And that's the thing about Fresher. He's a great momentum builder, a great damage dealer. So he's pushing you his momentum and pushing goal forward. Great kicker, great everything. But even then, Fresher, despite being probably one of the highest defense models on the farm, Dolphal hero at the end of the day. And snared and knocked down will make an idiot of fucking any fucking hero model.
Mm.
Windle, fucking God bless him. I had a bit of a lucky activation with Fresher. He'd extended Fresher past my line and he'd come into my bubble. Keener charge, you get him. Only way I could get to him, fuck it, charge. Shitload of damage. Bleed. Another swing. Fuck him. Just wipe him off the board, no problem. I'd killed Windle once. No, I couldn't tell if I'd not killed him. Had got 4 takeouts. I can't quite remember where they came from, you know.
Mm.
Fuck it. You know, I think the game ended on such a weird way. I can't quite remember the exact details. But I had the thing where I had Plowman. Plowman, shitload of health. Created like quite a survivable model in many ways. 23 health.
Yeah.
Hard guy to crack. But Chaka didn't care about that. I had a pinned activation on Windle at a point that Jake dumped everything into just packing the ball, manoeuvring, trying to. He packed the ball to Windle like fucking like 5 times, something at a point. Just trying to get that dodge and move him around. He had like bushel I'm opening with him and stuff like that. Well, that new tapping rule, you know, for packing, really doing work. But he dumped a shitload into trying to get Windle to get out of this pin.
Yeah.
He wanted the big berserk activation and it won't come in. He had him pinned and Farron had fucked off. Farron wasn't even an option and he had one of his own friendly models in the way.
Can't even push him out of the way.
No, like that's the dream scenario for pinned for me. And when he finally got a good angle, Chaka walked up, boom boxed him, like fucking walked up to him, attacked him, I think charged him, got like a double wrap on 4-inch push, boom box, another 4-inch. Over there now, went, okay, you pushed out, I'm gonna pack back to him, get him back into fucking range, and he dumped a lot into that, really hurt him. And he put Plowman really close to the edge of the pitch. He'd measured the 4-inch, hadn't packed it in Chaka's playbook, basically.
Yeah.
And you go, well, oh, I get the counter attack, I
problem.
And I'll go take the 1-inch, I'll get the double push, I'm out of your melee, you're now snared, boom bop. And yeah, plowman off the fucking field. I had a hellish activation with Jake Aaron Wendell, who'd been knocked down, snared, singled out on him from Hearn. I'd made a couple of really dubious decisions early on, and I had one time where I really needed hold of fresher, and he basically kept fresher out of every Granger. I'd not measured it right.
Yeah.
I put a lot of effort into trying to block off an area of the pitch, because I thought this is the obvious way to get through this.
Yeah.
And I made it too obvious.
Yeah.
And he just fucked off the other way.
Yeah.
And I had that thing where I got a 2-1 shimmied, what I call it. Yeah.
Oof.
Ferran can, the only guy who could get to him, Ferran, and Ferran can the 2-1 shimmy, and even if I had momentum, I was like really debating whether it was even worth trying to get away with it, and it just wasn't fucking coming. Yeah. But the working out of all, to be fair, we had super floppy clock the entire fucking, I had floppy clock throughout the whole fucking tournament, to be honest.
There are moments where you're finishing an activation, you look across and you realise it's on the other person's clock, or like you look back and you realise you're still paused from doing game time.
To be fair, a lot of my opponents weren't much different.
Yeah.
Like Jamie, who I first played against, new to the game, new to the clock. It's an awkward way to play.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just, that game ended relatively quickly. It wasn't a factor.
Mm.
Came with Dave. We're a bit floppy on clock, not too much, but the game ended quite quickly. Never became a factor. Yeah. Came for Mac. We both had activation where the most common one was not switching over to them. It's not like we were trying to be too sharp of it.
Yeah.
And go, okay, over to you, and then we're fucking around. It was like literally just going,
yeah, oh, whatever. You've had that on my time again. Bollocks.
Yeah, yeah. I've not put it over to you, whatever, that kind of thing. We both did that a fair bit. And came with Jeff. We had not a bad, but we had a couple. But I timed out, basically. I'm gone.
I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that we don't play on clock when we're practicing.
No.
So I almost forget it's there.
But I don't like it. The thing, I don't like to be overly apologetic for that. It feels douchey to turn around and go, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, over to you. And I want time to talk. I want time to go through it. I want to have a bit of a fucking chat. It's a fucking Sunday morning, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even at the club, like, we're going to play 1-2 game top. The game's going for one to go on for. It's just not something I'm really hugely into. And I'll live with that, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jake timed me out really fucking badly. My own fault, you know. I spent a lot of time just thinking. When I was actually moving model, it was pretty obvious what to do. But the thing that really hurt me was just thinking time, where I probably had minutes at a time where I'm just going, not sure what to do.
Yeah, I feel like I've got no idea whether people are going to agree with this or whether people are going to think that I'm a complete idiot. I feel like that punishes my style of play less than yours.
Yeah.
Because with your takeout game, it's almost like every single one of your models is trying to maximise their efficiency.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously I'm trying to maximise the efficiency of what I'm working with, but at any one time there's only one or two models that really matter. It's the one who's got the ball and the one who's threatening the ball, or the one who's got the ball and the one who's trying to get into position to get the ball afterwards. You know, like there's, when I go into a turn, there tends to be at least one model that I know is not going to be achieving. So their activation is jog, yours.
Yeah.
I don't know how much people agree with that.
No, I think, okay, the one thing I think striking teams have over killing teams, okay, they usually go for less activation, like less influence. Usually a sprint, they want to dodge in or out, maybe farm momentum occasionally. But for the most part, they kind of know what they're doing. Mm. They want to move, they want to advance, get in range of the goal, go for that, advance, tackle. They occasionally have super janky, you know, 4-inch 4-inch dodge, you know, you're trying to get round corner. But for the most part, it generally, you know, very clean style of play. I need activation to go a certain way. I need people to, it's very weird where, like, okay, with a good dodger, like, someone gets a magic dodge on one, or magic double dodge on that two, you just want that two hit, and you've got everything you'd ever want out of that activation. With Fina, or Chaka, or Hearn, or Jaka, I can't just have the one good influence spend and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I need all four or three or two.
By our powers combined. Yeah.
I need it to go my way. Okay, like I've been playing with JK recently, he a 1-inch melee with no knockdown and shit defense, flat out just shocking defense, and a lot of people on counter attack can just fucking bully him, and he's becoming a flat out liability on my team. That being said, he did have a hellish activation window, wipe the fucking floor with him, plus 4 tack on his already spectacular playbook. Getting off double trap playing around,
and it just so happened that 8-7 at dice down, you were the one with 8, not 7.
That's the thing, in terms of the game, game, I lost 5 VP on clock. Returned from the game, I won't tell a lie, I fucking despise winning on Dice Down. And I despise winning on clock. And more importantly, I despise losing on clock. It's just not my cup of tea. It doesn't, and even if I win on clock, it doesn't make me feel like I beat the dude. And especially, I don't feel like I beat the dude on Dice Down. But you can rationalise it in your head almost. You can go, well, if I've done this, I've done that, whatever. But I did not feel like I had won kind of legit. But like, I lost 5 VP on clock. In terms of my game plan and the way it went, I felt like I played super solidly.
It was just the time it took for you to do that.
Yeah, time crushed me. It's my fault. Fucking no excuse there. But my, like I say, the thing about the clock I never liked is that it's not an accurate reflection of how good your thinking of the game is.
It's just how fast you're thinking.
You think quickly, and that's a skill in and of itself. I'm not talking about some people are really good at game are good because they can go figure out a good thing to do. It's a common phrase from like the military. I think it's a Napoleon thing, but you had a good plan executed now is better than a perfect plan executed later. And true almost in every area of life. If you put them off waiting for the perfect moment, you're gonna fucking, and in a game where you're literally timed, kind of a big fucking issue. I should have took a good plan instead of attempting to come up with a perfect plan.
That is something I've started doing with, I noticed that across all of season 3, the amount of times I used legendaries was so low. So I'm actively making it a point of, I'm trying to use my legendary in every game if I can. And it's that thing of, like, you're hoarding all the good ammo, the ammo for the good weapon, for the boss. And then you get to the boss and you go, what if there's a bigger boss? Yeah. So you never use your like mega rocket launcher or whatever. So like I was always sitting on Windfinder going, but what if there's a way I can get 3 people with this dodge? Or Corsair, I'm going, what if I can get more people under the aura shark? What if I can slow more people down?
Yeah,
that it just comes down to the fact of 9 times out of 10, if you can get 2 people, great. You know, 1 person, if it's the right person, you know, that can make the difference.
Take the opportunity
to
go there.
Yeah. Like, there was a couple of times today I used them, at least once today, I used Windfinder's Legendary just to give her a 4-inch dodge.
Yeah.
I got goal off it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, there you go.
I'll trade Legendary for 4 VP, yeah.
Fucking, well, that's as good a UK you're going to fucking get out of it, isn't it? You can't score 2 goals in turn. You know what I mean? But to put it out there flat out, if it wasn't for Dice Down, I'd have flat out lost to Jacob. Yeah, time was on my side. But I also hate adding that caveat of like going, if it wasn't for the clock, I was in a spectacular position.
Yeah.
Kirkenkent had the advantage on takeout. The goal for him wasn't going to happen. And I'm slowly pushing ball towards.
If you take away the VP you lost on clock, it was 8-2. Yeah.
For me, I had to change my plan factoring in the VP. So if it was just not time wasn't a factor, I easily could have eaten it out and just slowly Eaton Windle, fresh and sneaky, fresh and super fucking slippery, but he's not that fucking slippery. And I'll get to him eventually. Like, JCar can move a fair bit, Hearn can fucking teleport for nothing. Like, these guys are gonna fucking get to you eventually. Like, you can't run forever. And yeah, it was just that thing of but yeah, in terms of the actual game, I hate adding all these like caveats. Well, if there was no clock, I would have won, but if it was just clock, Jake would have won, but it was Dice Down, so I won. Like, all these extra factors, and I hate that character turn around and go, me and Jake had a game, like, we're Dave.
Yeah.
I felt me and Dave had a meeting in the mind, and like Dave turned around and went, honestly, I thought we both played really well, but I made mistakes and you didn't.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, cool, like, we've had a fucking real game of Guild Ball there. For me and Jason Fox, even though I've not seen we didn't have a real game.
You played Clock Ball.
That's the thing I hated about it. It's like, I'm really looking forward to playing against Jason. Because he's a super fucking solid player. He's playing a unique team right now. Farmers are a really weird position right now, where they're not as popular as Guild Ball. A lot of people just flat out don't like playing them. And for fucking good reason, they've got solo defence, I feel like absolute victim time.
I can't wait to play Navigators into Farmers.
You know, I thought that I was going to go back in for the new character thing, and I didn't get everything I wanted. I eat that huge amount of health I've got.
Yeah.
Don't become a bit.
I don't give a shit about the health.
Oh, yeah, for you. Oh, my God. How many times are you going to roll into a farm and go, I don't even get my reroll. I've already hit everything. But yeah, like, I don't want to make out that me and Jason didn't play a good game or anything like that. You know, he didn't play well or whatever. Like, yeah, I think he did understand the way I was playing and made count of. But I hate that thing of like going, I can't care that me and Jason just played the game and nothing came outside of it. Yeah, if it weren't for the clock, if it weren't for Dice Down, I hate that shit. The worst thing was, right, Jason got with them coin war tokens. Because I won, I took the fucking coin war token off him. Okay, this is the shadiest picture ever. Like, and Dave came on, you get the coin war token. Like, oh, fucking hell. I love that.
I take it all back. This is a legit victory.
This is the most, I do think this is probably the most, against Jason in particular, because Jason's such a good fucking player. I honestly think this is literally the most fraudulent victory I've had in fucking Guild Ball yet. And I've had some absolutely fucking filthy. I've literally had activations on timeout where I've won, where the reason the other guy didn't get VP on clock is he killed too many of my models, because technically didn't get an activation. Like, I've had some fucking filthy wins, but this one was just... I did...
It took the biscuit. Well, the coin.
Oh, fucking hell. Thanks for the coin anyway, Jim. Great game, mate. I hope to play again soon.
Mm. My last game was against Tony. Love playing Tony. Played
on Tony's such a nice dude.
Just relentlessly nice bloke. It was a 12-10 victory to me, which... You know,
Tony fucking leveled up, hasn't
Yeah. We've gone from the 12-1 to just Super Saiyan.
Fighting for your life.
And I was saying that, like, it was... I was fighting tooth and claw for this victory. At one point, it was 10... He had me at 10-4. I scored the standard issue...
fucking nervous position to be at 10-4.
I did the turn one, standard issue navigators score a goal as their last activation, yeah?
Yeah.
I then achieved nothing for two turns. All the while, Vetsinda was just running a train. Like, she... And then it came down to I got a break with Horizon, who scored a goal. The clock switched over. Sledge went in on air because of the amount of influence Sledge had on him. He had to do two each time, and he biffed one. It doesn't matter that he got pile driver. It doesn't matter that he singled out. You don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
And because he survived long enough, that gave me. I had like
how much health did Ebb have? More than six.
Yeah.
Yeah, so literally, he doesn't have the influence to take the dude out.
Oh, no, he had the influence, he just didn't get the role on one of them. Anyway, Horizon scores a goal.
He could kill him.
Yeah. Horizon scores a goal, the ball comes back out, he kicks it into space, but not as into space as I would have done. You know, I'd have just gone, because when he was putting it down, he went, oh no, I won't put it there, because it might go behind my goal line, and I won't get momentum. And I, like, had to bite my tongue so hard it almost came off.
What do you mean?
Because I was just going... Just kill me! Like, just kill me! You win! You need two more VP, man!
Come on! Kill me!
And then he was just like, okay, so I'm going to put it here. And then because of where that was, it bumped up against the piece of terrain. Just because of the sheer size of the terrain, it couldn't clear the other side of it. So it went down. It was like a really long, quite wide rock. So, because it couldn't clear the other side, it ended up like 6 inches closer to his goal.
You know the other guy doing the goal kick? And you're looking at chunk of terrain going, hand it over. Yeah. And just fucking give me.
And that's exactly what happened. And when it went back out, Tony got an activation. He didn't kill someone. I think he went in on Azmuth. I think he went in on Azmuth, and Azmuth got low, was knocked down, he was burning. I had one momentum, and I was like, okay, well, I have to win this activation or I lose the game. So I spent like 10 minutes on this activation because I had it. Cleared conditions, stood him up, and I was staring at it the entire time. And it was so helpful that people were standing around watching me. That was so helpful. I loved that. And so I was just doing that thing where you're sort of trying to do all the numbers. And because of grudge match, I threw it down on Vetsinda because she was quite low. And I thought, I'll get a kill there maybe. Mm. You know, I thought Azimuth can probably do it, which means I just need to get another kill somewhere. Let's just hunt one of the apprentices. And because singled out was on her, I was like, going, okay, he's tax six plus two. Wanda was there for a crowd out just because I was too scared to disengage Vetsinda because he'd have just got like killed. So I just kept him hanging around. Rolled it because it wasn't a charge. Like, Tony did the only thing he could do, counter attack. Doesn't matter. I get the knockdown on two. You know, knocked him down. Rolled it again. Hit the netted, which comes with a free dodge. Threw the netted out. Took the dodge. Attacked someone else. Hit the netted with the dodge. Threw that out. And then I'd played midfield general. So that gave me just enough of a jog to get the ball, to use my last influence with the shot. I couldn't bonus time it. I couldn't do anything. If I didn't get it, I'd have lost. But.
Out the dice.
Dice. 50-50, yeah. Innit?
Man.
And it was just such a... it was a fucking roller coaster of a game.
I imagine going into it going like, oh, I've got Tony last game. Oh, he's still quite new to this. I'm looking forward. Maybe it'll be a nice casual game. I'll get a 2-2. And you're like just going like fighting for your fucking life at the end of it going, the thing is, fucking hell. Oh.
It was like... It because there was that point where I was on 10, it was 10-4, and like I won because I got a goal, then he got an activation, then I got another goal, you know, like it was like back, and it was just this moment of like he's going, oh, I think I'll put the ball over here. And like, it's almost like, did you ever see, did you ever play TF2?
Yeah.
You know, the pyro, when they did the pyro vision thing. It's just like the, like, it's sort of looking through the blacksmith's eyes. Raindrops keep falling on.
Yeah.
Cuts back to the navigators and we're all going, ah, ah, get the fucking ball! Cuts back to Vet Cinder just stabbing someone through the throat, whirling round to take everyone else out. Just desperately trying to crawl away. It's like Sledge just jumps off a rock and slams into them. And I'm going, fucking, someone do something! Get the fucking ball! Fathom would come on, she'd dive in, try and get the ball, die immediately. And I'm like, oh Christ! Oh god, it's such a good game. Like, because it's always been 12-1, and we were like, it's not gonna be 12-1, and you got this first goal because Faris didn't quite have the range for a kick, but dropped the ball within an inch, and then that ability give it a whack, so he just goes, oh, I can't quite get it. Boom, whack, scored the goal. We were like, yeah, high five, boom,
about like, give it a whack, right? Because so you only get an inch, basically, right? An extra inch, which I'm not going to complain about. It feels so, because it's so small, it feels so fucking cheeky. You just go, extra inch. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a super shot where you're like, it's factored into how it just feels like a bit of a fuck you.
It's great. I love it.
Oh no, I think it's a cool ability.
Honestly, if like we've got the blacksmiths and I want to start giving them a run out again, because I feel like towards the end of season 3 I feel like I cracked that nut and they're starting to give me trouble again. They really are starting to give me trouble again, so I want to start getting them out on the board more. I can see myself running Faris. I love that. Just like that.
You know what I really would have liked for Faris? Maybe something like, if she, you know, instead of like the one inch you could get, the idea if she maybe somehow charges at the ball, she gets like a shitload of extra range, because she's like getting the momentum from the charge, like, well, so,
she can charge the ball, like,
if
Faris
can have someone kill the ball and leave it out in the middle of somewhere, she can just run over and go, fucking bullshit. That'd be cool. I think that'd be like, I just imagine that idea. Can you get this image of, like, you know, of horse polo?
Yeah.
She'd go, fucking have it. It's like 1 inch.
No, it was tooth and nail, like, the entirety of them two turns where. Like I said, that I wasn't like I didn't get any VP, so like I didn't achieve anything. But every single activation was like me tearing my hair out, going, I've got to pull it out of the bag here, and like just managing to get the ball off him, just for him to take it back again.
And live another day.
That's what it was. It was just like fucking insane. Just like and it was just constantly just. Yeah, just I've just had to survive long enough to fight again. Every single activation. And then Horizon Animus pulled it out for me.
We're going back to Blacksmith OP.
We've had enough of this Navigator's OP shit.
Only proof that the only thing that can beat OP, Blacksmith OP Navigator. You know, speaking of OP.
You know what? It's just clicked in that moment there when we had that goony little laugh at each other's jokes. You know what we are? We are the two old men Muppets of the Gilball community.
Oh, fuck off.
That's what we are. Fucking what's that? I don't know what it is. I don't like it.
Okay.
That's new. Don't like it. I haven't played it long enough to understand what it is. Don't like it. No, don't like it. Then just laugh at each other.
Well, fuck me for having a good time.
Yeah.
Should we call it?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. And to everyone who attended the tournament, it feels a bit weird to just... I really just happily could have gone through all 40 names who attended other than us. But again, special thanks to the Edic Game, Neil and Simon in particular, who were just fucking, you know, did everything they could to make it go smoothly and give a hand. And just shout out to everyone who turned up. Fucking Adam, Matt, Jamie, everyone played against Dave. Everyone who turned up. Cullen, who fucking travelled. The aging. There were people who went really out of the way to come to it. I couldn't be more appreciative of it. And just really nice guy. Without just subjecting listening to a list of people. To everyone who attended Hooligan Cup, thanks a million for coming out. Well, I've been Ryan.
I've been Alec.
Cut.